Able to bestow happiness, attainable by living in the heavenly kingdom, by liberation, or enjoyment of material comfort. Anything, Esham, Abhum, Kim, what need, can there be Itarena with any other Tesha of them? Akinchanana, without needs or without possessions. Mai, unto me, Bhakti Bhajam, executing devotional service. Translation, I am fully opulent, almighty and spiritual Lord Brahma, Indra, the king of the heavenly planets. I am also the bestower of all happiness obtained in the heavenly kingdom by liberation. Nonetheless, the Brahmanas do not seek material comforts from me. They are very pure and do not want to possess anything. They simply engage my devotional service. What is the need of their asking for material benefits from anyone else? Purport, the perfect criminal qualification stated herein, Akinchanana Mai Bhakti Bhajam. The Brahmanas are always engaged in the devotional service of the Lord. Consequently, they have no material wants, nor do they possess material things. Vinchitana Charitamra Chakanimakutu explains that the position of pure Vaishnavas who are anxious to return home back to Godhead. Niskinshanasya Bhagavad Bhajan Mukhasya. Those who actually want to return to Godhead are Niskinshana, that is, they have no desire for material comfort. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu advises Sandarshanam Vishayina Mata Yoshitam Shah Ha Hanta Hanta Visha Bhakshana Topya Sadhu. Material opulence and sense gratification through the association of women are more dangerous than poison. Brahmanas who are pure Vaishnavas always engage in the Lord's service and are devoid of any desire for material gain. Brahmanas do not worship demigods like Lord Brahma, Indra, or Shiva for any material comfort. They do not even ask the Supreme Lord for material profit. Therefore, it is concluded that the Brahmanas are the supreme living entities in the world. Srila Kapila Dev also confirms this in Srimad Bhagavatam. Tasman mai arpita shesha kriyarta ma niranta mai arpita atmanopam so mai sanyasta kamaha. Napasyami param bhutam akartu samadarshana. The Brahmanas are always dedicated to the Lord's service with their body, minds, and words. There is no better person than a Brahmana who thus engages himself and dedicates himself to the Supreme Lord. Text 26, my dear sons, you should not envy any living entity, be he moving or non-moving. Knowing that I am situated in them, you should offer respect to all of them at every moment. In this way, you offer respect to me. Purport, in this verse, the word Viktajigvi means without envy. Meaning without envy is used. All living entities are the abode of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his Paramatma feature, as confirmed in Brahma Samhita. Andantarastam Paramanu Chayantarastam. The Lord is situated in this universe as Garbhadaksha Vishnu. Shirdaksha Vishnu is also situated within every atom, according to the Vedic statement, Isha Vasya Vidam Saravam. The Supreme Lord is situated everywhere, and whatever, wherever he's situated is his temple. We even offer respects to a temple from a distant place, and all living entities should simply be offered respect. This is different from the theory of pantheism, which holds that everything is God. Everything has a relationship with God because God is situated everywhere. We should not make any particular distinction between a poor and rich, like the foolish worshippers of Narayana. Narayana is present in the rich as well as the poor. One should not simply think Narayana is situated among the poor. He is everywhere. An advanced devotee will offer respect to everyone, even to cats and dogs. The humble sage, by virtue of true knowledge, sees with equal vision a learned and gentle brahmana, a cow, an elephant, a dog, and a dog eater. This samadarshana, equal vision, should not be mistaken to mean that the individual is the same as the Supreme Lord. They are always distinct. Every individual person is different from the Supreme Lord. It is a mistake to equate the individual living entity with the Supreme Lord on the plea of the Vikradrik Samadrik. The Lord is always in an exalted position, even though he agrees to live everywhere. Srimad Bhacharya, quoting Padma Purana, states that Vikradrishti Jivanam Jisnitaya Parameshvara Sivayadrishti. One who has clear vision and who is devoid of envy can see that the Supreme Lord is separate from all living entities, although he is situated in every living entity. Madhvacharya further quotes the Padma Purana, one who sees the living entity in the Supreme Lord as always distinct is very dear to the Lord. Padma Purana also states, Yoha res chaiva jivanam veda vakta hare kriya. One who preaches that the living entities are separate from the Supreme Lord is very dear to Lord Vishnu. Translation, I am fully offered to the Almighty and Superior Lord Brahma and Indra, the King of the Heavenly Planets. I am also the bestower of all happiness obtained in Heavenly Kingdom and by liberation. Nonetheless, the Brahmanas do not seek material comforts from me. They are very pure and do not want to possess anything. They simply engage in my devotional service. What is the need of their asking for material benefits from anyone else? My dear sons, you should not envy any living entity, be he moving or non-moving. Knowing that I am situated in them, you should offer respect to all of them at every moment. In this way, you offer respect to me. So, continuing with his praise of the Brahmana here, Rishabhadev stating that the wonderful quality of the Brahmana, and of course here he talks about bhakti, bhakti bhajan, they are devotees of the Supreme Lord. So, as I stated the other day, it's not that all Brahmanas are the same. Some may be Vaishnavas, some may be Shivites, or whatever. So there are a variety of Brahmanas. But the best of the Brahmanas will be those who are devotees of the Supreme Lord. So in other words, to some degree, they are Vaishnavas. Now, of course, Vaishnavas may be of various types. They may be worship the Lord, respect the Lord, or they may more seriously practice. Sadhana bhakti is their main practice, etc. In which case we call them Vaishnavas proper. And those who somewhat respect the Lord or whatever and do little worship, they're in a lesser category. So we'll have, in the Brahminical community, we'll have various types of worshippers, some worshipping Devatas, some worshipping Vishnu, and some actually practicing pure bhakti. So we'll have a variety of people there. So the best of those are those who are actually practicing pure bhakti. At the same time, you cannot say that because he's a Brahmin, he's a better Vaishnava than a Vaishya or a Sudra who's a Brahmin. To say that is called aparadha, to distinguish a Vaishnava on the basis of his caste. His varna is considered aparadha. So to say that the Vaishnavas, these are the best Vaishnavas, is wrong in one sense, because the best Vaishnava is not determined by varna, but it's determined by his devotion. So therefore we have a person like Haridas Thakur, who was not in the varnashram system at all. He was considered to be born in a Muslim family, etc. Yet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu worshipped him as the best Vaishnava and called him Namacharya. So his status as a Vaishnava was not dependent upon his birth in a particular varna or whatever. So one should not think that therefore the Brahmin Vaishnavas are better than other Vaishnavas. So, on the other hand, we see here that Rishabhadeva is speaking within the terms of the Varnashram system, and he's praising the Brahmanas. So therefore, among the Brahmanas, he's praising those who are the Vaishnavas as being the best of those brahminical persons. And why does he praise them? One, of course, is they worship the Supreme Lord, and with dedication, and therefore they are not interested in enjoyment of material world, Svargaloka, or even in liberation, Apavarga. So bhakti and mukti are not an interest for the real Vaishnava. So their interest is simply worshipping the Supreme Lord. So that qualifies a person as an actual Vaishnava. As I mentioned, other Vaishnavas are what people who worship Vishnu may be called Vaishnavas, but they may not be of that standard. They may, for instance, have material attachments, a desire for liberation, or desire for material things, in which case we call them mixed devotees. Karma Mishra Bhakti or Gyan Mishra Bhakti is what they do. And they may even be less than that. They may not be doing bhakti as their main process at all. Even though they're brahmanas, they may be concentrating on karma yoga. So we see in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Veda Rata, those who are absorbed in the Vedas, worship the Devatas, and think of going to Svarga Loka as the ultimate goal. So those are brahmanas. So some brahmanas are engaged in that way. Of course, technically speaking, they should also respect Vishnu. Nevertheless, their main interest is going to Svarga Loka or something like that. So therefore, we don't really consider them Vaishnavas. So they're of a lesser category. So we'll have all sorts of people, but the best of those are those brahmanas who practice pure bhakti. And therefore, they will not have these other interests of Svarga or Apavarga, liberation, or a Svarga Loka or whatever. So material and karma and jnana are rejected. So that is why they are called a kinchana. Kinchana means something. A kinchana means nothing. So a kinchana means one who has nothing, or one who desires nothing. So sometimes we speak of a person as a kinchana. They desire nothing. But then we use the term akinchana bhakti, which is the same as pure bhakti, sudha bhakti, or kevala bhakti, or uttama bhakti. All these are equivalent terms. Ananya bhakti, all same meaning. That means the bhakti is not mixed with other desires. Therefore they're called akinchanas. Akinchana, of course, could also mean someone who has no desire for material things. That means someone who is more of a jnani. Can also mean that. So the devotee actually is not interested in liberation or simply detachment from the material world. His status as a kinchana is only the result of his dedication to the Supreme Lord. That's all. So it's simply a byproduct of his bhakti. The devotees are akinchana in the sense that they practice only bhakti and they don't desire material things. So the akinchana aspect is secondary to the bhakti aspect. These persons should be highly respected among all the persons in the society. And Rishabhadeva says, well, of course one should respect them as the highest persons in society, but one should actually respect every living entity. Not only every living entity in the Varnashram system, but every living entity, not just human beings, but all living entities should be respected. So he says the moving and the non-moving. So even trees and plants should be respected, not just animals and human beings. And why? Because Rishabhadeva said, I am situated in them. I have a relationship with all the living entities in the material world. So in that sense, they are to be respected. At the same time, this does not mean that every entity is the Supreme Lord. The Supreme Lord is there, but the Jiva is also there. So we should not think that when the Lord says, I am in all living entities, that means that every living entity is the Supreme Lord. The Lord accompanies the Jiva in all bodies, whether it is plant or animal or human being. One should respect the Lord in all cases. So one should respect the Lord in all living entities. And going beyond that, one should respect the Lord beyond living entities, because the Lord pervades the whole material world. So everything is pervaded by the Supreme Lord, and everything is related to the Lord. This does not mean that everything is the Lord literally, because matter is matter, jiva is jiva. So there is a distinction also. Nevertheless, the Lord pervades everything and has His presence everywhere. So everything is related to the Lord somehow. However, as we know, the human being gets more respect than the animals, and the animals get more respect than the plants because of their higher evolved consciousness. And among human beings, those who follow our ashram system are given more respect than those who don't. And among the Varnashrama system, the Brahmanas are respected more than others because they have spiritual knowledge of the Vedas. But higher than that, of course, is the Vaishnava. Because he has understood the essence of scripture itself. So he is given the highest position of all. So though here Rishabhadev says one should respect all of the entities, still we have different levels of respect for different living entities, up until we come to the top and we get the Vaishnava. So he should be given the most respect of all, which is what Rishabhadev was saying to his son. So you should respect the Brahmana Vaishnava. So why that respect is there is because it's not because the Lord is there in any case, in all jivas, so we should respect, but the jiva, who is the Vaishnava, is more highly evolved, is in a higher position and consciousness than all the others. So we respect him not because just the Supreme Lord is there, we respect the Vaishnava because the individual jiva has developed his consciousness to a higher degree than the others. So yes, we respect all living entities, but nevertheless, the Vaishnava is given the most respect of all, because he's at the highest level. So therefore, we should not think everything is actually equal in spite of this instruction of the Lord that I am everywhere and you should respect all of the entities. At the same time, we see, for instance, one can worship anything in the material world, but we give special respect to the deities. We don't simply say, I will worship the rock outside on the street. It's the same as in the deity room. It's not. Yes, the Lord is everywhere, of course, but the deity is special. A special aspect of the Supreme Lord. So we make distinctions in spite of the Lord being everywhere. So similarly, in the Vaishnava, the jiva is advanced, so therefore we give more respect to the Vaishnava. And not only that, as the Supreme Lord says, I am particularly attached to the Vaishnava or the devotee. I am in them, they are in me, etc. Just as he's praising the Brahmanas, that I eat through the Brahmanas, etc. So more than that, the Lord has a relationship with the devotees. So it's not just Paramatma acting on behalf of devotees, it's something else. So the Lord is everywhere as Paramatma, accompanying all jivas, but he is personally with the devotees. So the Lord is accompanying personally, not as Paramatma, but as Bhagavan. He is with the Vaishnava devotees. So that is also special. So it's not just Paramatma there, it's actually the Supreme Lord who is attracted to the Vaishnava and to Bhakti. He is also there with the devotees. So the Lord says, I am in my devotee is in me. So in this way, the devotee's in a very special position because he is the one that gets the mercy of Bhagavan and the others do not. The Lord says, I'm not interested in jnana and karma and yoga and all these other processes. I am attracted by bhakti. So though the Lord permits all these other processes, they're in the scripture, and he encourages them in different avatars, still, the Lord says, I have greatest affection for my devotee. So the devotee has a very special position among all of the different living entities. He is dearest to the Lord. The Lord is personally there. Plus, the jiva himself is in a more advanced state. Therefore, other living entities should offer him the most respect. By doing so, the jiva gets ultimate benefit. That is, by giving proper respect to the Vaishnava gives mercy in the form of bhakti. So in this way, it gives the ultimate benefit for all the jivas if they give proper respect to the Vaishnava. They can get his mercy very, very nicely. So this is the highest benefit for the jivas. So the instruction of the Lord is actually very profound. By respecting the Vaishnava, who's the highest living entity, one gets the highest benefit of all. That is, one also gets devotion to the Lord. So that is the distinction we make in the Lord. Though he's everywhere at the same time, he is especially with the devotee. Because of its attraction to the devotion that is within the particular jiva. Since Vaishnavas are far better than Brahmanas, sometimes we, in preaching, we see that some ISKCON devotees feel that ISKCON Vaishnavas are better than the Gaudiya Brahmanojo and Madhva Sampradaya Vaishnavas. Is it not offensive to categorize Vaishnavas based on bona fide Sampradaya and comparing them? Is it right for ISKCON devotees to feel that he is the best Vaishnava among all the Sampradaya Vaishnavas? Well, in one sense, yes, in one sense, no. Vaishnavas are Vaishnavas, so we cannot criticize them. So, in the sense that we see that Ma Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Sri Rangam was with the Sri Vaishnavas, and they would argue in a friendly manner, but he would never try to defeat them or convince them if they, even if they didn't give arguments. So, it's not our purpose to, in that way, show superiority, whatever, since they are Vaishnavas already. They have different attraction, and therefore they keep that attraction for the Supreme Lord of position or whatever. So the four Vaishnava Sampradayas are authorized Sampradayas, so we cannot criticize them. At the same time, we also see in Chaitanya Charitamrita that says that anyone who cannot appreciate the nature of Lord Chaitanya's philosophy, whatever, that they're demonic or whatever, and don't give respect to Lord Chaitanya, etc. Such statements are made to encourage the person to understand the very exalted nature of the Gaudiya philosophy and the worship of Krishna, that's all. Nevertheless, all forms of God are one, so we cannot also just start distinguishing and saying and criticizing other Vaishnavas because they have a worship a different form or whatever. So we have to preach in the proper way.
What about the Gaudiya Vaishnavas? What's the followers and ISKCON followers? Can we have this type of understanding?
Well, it's not a better or worse or whatever in one sense, because we're all followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Nevertheless, there are different groups. So many different groups are there. And of course they have devotion to their own founder and their own leader and their own guru, whatever. So that is admitted. So similarly we have devotion to our particular founder, Prabhupada. So then we put him in a high position, then we look at everybody else as secondary, whatever. Nevertheless, as Vaishnavas, we also have to appreciate that they are also followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and they're following bona fide system, etc. So we can't disrespect them in any way. Well, our concept is a chinta beta beta. It is simultaneous. So it's not that it is spiritual, it's spiritual and material. Or we don't even say that it's completely spiritual, but rather that it's all part of Supreme Lord, which isn't necessary to make it spiritual. It's part of the Supreme Lord. Nevertheless, it is also a chit. So it never loses a chit nature in that sense. But it is part of the Supreme Lord, so that sense is one with the Lord. So, how do we preach that? Usually we don't preach that to neophytes because they're not going to understand anything. They don't understand the concept of philosophy at all, or the concept of matter and spirit or whatever. So we just have to deal with basics. That is, jiva, material body, that's about it. In terms of philosophy, if they're interested in philosophy, yes, we can preach, but then they do have to have a little sophistication in terms of terminologies and whatever, and definitions, etc., to understand the difference between matter and spirit and God, Ishvara, all these different things. So that comes at a later stage if they're interested in philosophy.
You mentioned
Paramatma
saying
that in the language of objects, if you go there, there's one. Yeah. Well, it's everywhere. Paramatma pervades the whole material world. Of course, he functions differently for different things. Obviously, with living entities, he's more involved than he is involved with matter. But ultimately, everything is related to the Supreme Lord directly or indirectly.
Okay, 1 million is not a mercy.